This is Pat Bodie, host of 900 Views. This podcast was recorded prior to George Floyd's death and the Black Lives Matter protests sweeping the country. I'm deeply empathetic to this cause and saddened by the pain felt by so many. I hope all of us will work hard for true justice and an end to centuries of racism in this country. Coming to you by way of the not-for-profit Mainframe Studios at 900 Keogh Way in downtown Des Moines, this is 900 Views, a podcast about building community through the arts as we build an arts community. I'm your host, Pat Bodie, and to state the obvious, we work on community these days in challenging times. The Downtown Des Moines Arts Festival, a mainstay of community gathering that takes place in June, has been canceled. But one of the many examples of the value of the arts community in these pandemic times is how an ad hoc group of artists under the leadership of past 900 Views guest Rachel Boozy of Art Beacon fame has pulled together an amazing array of events for Art Week, June 19th through the 26th. Art Week typically coincides with the Arts Festival, truly enriching the entire atmosphere and offerings in Central Iowa at that time. This year is no exception in terms of the quality of the Art Week results, but it is exceptional, the circumstances under which Art Week has been developed. Fine art photographer Brittany Brooke Crow, or as she references herself, image maker and image taker, is one of those Art Week community builders. A few notes about Brittany Brooke before exploring her Art Week contributions and her work through the lens of community. She's based in Des Moines, earning a BA in art history and a BFA in studio art from UNI in 2013. After graduating, Crow directed the art gallery at Wartburg College for 2 years and did some teaching. She has been an artist in residence at the Hartman Reserve Nature Center and was appointed by the governor to serve on the Iowa Arts Council Board of Directors from 2016 to 2019. And Brittany Brooke, you've done some good planning for Art Week. What do you know about what we have in store, in particular some of the events that you're participating in?
Well, this year, I think everyone has been really concerned with how we can take this event that is so important to us as artists in this community and still follow through with it in a way that is meaningful, creates those meaningful connections, but is also accessible, considering that most artists are not ready to meet in person yet again.
Right.
So for Art Week, I am personally co-hosting two events. On June 22nd at 6 p.m., I am co-hosting Performative Gestures, which will be a conversation between myself and Michelle Marie, in which we're going to explore both of our performance-based arts practices and the common themes that are prevalent in our works. We're going to do that in an online discussion that's going to be live, and people will be invited to submit questions by text. Another event that I'm also co-hosting is Virtual Life Drawing, presented by Arcadian Tattoo. That's going to be on June 24th at 6 p.m., and Taylor Ross and I are partnering on this. Taylor Ross runs Arcadian Tattoo and has typically done an in-person life drawing there for a small group of artists, and so we're going to build off of that. We're collaborating to offer live drawing to artists of all skill levels virtually, using that space. So I'm going to be modeling during the session while Taylor keeps time for the different poses, and he will also be communicating between myself and the artists who have tuned in.
Now, I found that fascinating that you're going to be modeling for him, because in your artist statement, you talk about how while women artists are underrepresented in art collections, the vast majority of nude subjects depicted in art are female. And you go on to say the male gaze has historically defined women's images and experiences. So, but you're still modeling for a male?
I am.
Nude?
Yes.
Okay, so reconcile that for me.
Yeah, so I actually began modeling very part-time during my time at the University of Northern Iowa. At the time, it was the only departmental job that I could qualify for without work study that year. And so most of my cohort at the time and many of my professors saw me naked before they ever saw my work, which was an interesting phenomenon.
That is, you call it interesting. Did it feel interesting or did it feel something else?
It felt interesting. I also felt kind of exposed, but it was something that I wanted to explore. I had been familiar with the idea of modeling nude prior to that, and I figured if I could become comfortable in my own skin in that way, that would be an excellent stepping stone to exploring self-portraiture and exploring other themes in my art.
You've done some amazing work with this self-portraiture. Tell us a little bit about how you have gone about pulling together with an oval mirror, if I'm understanding that correctly, when I'm looking at the images, and what it is you're trying to accomplish with these juxtapositions and these images of yourself.
Yeah, so the self-portraits that I'm currently beginning to explore, this is a relatively new project, harkens back to my experience as a model and my recent, I only recently started modeling again, so this is a pretty recent phenomenon. And I remember having the idea back in undergrad, actually, that I was really interested in exploring how the photograph or how an art object changes if both the artist and the model are the same person, or in this case, the same woman. And so that's driving most of the photographs so far. Now, the mirror is interesting. As I began shooting the self-portraits, I sort of intuitively grabbed a mirror that I had in my studio at the time. I had purchased this mirror for a different body of work that hasn't really taken the form that I thought it would, and I started posing with it. So it started as an intuitive gesture, but I kept doing it. And so I feel like a lot of art happens where the art making process begins intuitively. And then as you reflect and look back at why you're making the images you're making, why you're making the work you're making, that's when the threads and ideas start to really form, at least in my experience. So, and of course, when we look at mirrors, we see the historical significance of it throughout art history, especially in relation to women and vanity. But I'm obsessed with 17th century Dutch still life paintings known as vanitas, and mirrors along with bubbles and flowers and other sorts of objects that do not last or suggest or reflect back on us that we're not going to live forever. That's what I'm really interested in. And that's part of the reason why I keep gravitating towards this mirror.
That's an interesting observation to make in these COVID-19 times. I want to harken back a little bit to some earlier work you did as well. It was called 19 Months Apart. It's work you did in 2013, where you say you were forced to acknowledge an increasing lack of intimacy with your sister when she moved across the country. Can you tell me a little bit about how well that time and that work prepare you for now?
Yes. So for the work 19 Months Apart, I shot the majority of that work right before my sister. She had just gotten married at the time, and her husband were moving from Des Moines to Spokane, Washington. And my sister and I had never really been very close, at least not since our much younger years. And I felt as she was pursuing her life and I was pursuing mine, we were going in very different directions. And I kind of wanted to capture that. In the process of taking those photos, I found that the camera itself provides distance. So I, in some ways, was hiding behind my camera in photographing her, and I didn't realize how I was using that as a way to connect when really it also is a way of disconnecting with the subject. So there was kind of like a push-pull in photographing that series. After I photographed her and after she had moved, that's when the work really started to take shape, and I realized that I had this whole mining of photographs that I had to do. I wasn't sure what I was going to do with the actual photographs themselves. Until I started playing with the crops, and the series began to take shape in a way where I obscured her face and I cropped her in such a way that it focused on the gestures of her hands, how she was sitting, her hair kept playing a role. And I remember during one of my critiques of that work, my peers pointed out how similar the gestures she was making in many of those photographs were to the gestures that I made myself.
Wow. So she's still your sister.
She's still my sister.
So what does this tell you a little bit about how in these times when we're physically distant, we can still achieve some level of intimacy? What have you learned that you're kind of being able to apply today?
I feel like in these strange times that we're in right now, a lot of ideas around intimacy and a lot of explorations around intimacy really have to start with the individual. So right now I'm finding that in trying to explore what intimacy means to me, I keep coming back to myself and how I interact with myself in front of the camera. Part of the reason that I'm creating self-portraits at this moment is that I still have access to myself. I can't photograph other people right now, at least not in the safest of circumstances. And so I keep coming back to, I have my own body and I can use that as a way or as a stand-in for the intimacy that I want to experience with other people.
And as you put that gaze upon yourself, and so, as you mentioned, it was the artist's gazing, the subject gazing the artist, or however. I look at life from both sides now is the line that comes to mind. What are you learning about yourself? How have you become more understanding of yourself with this kind of double gaze?
I am learning that honestly, I have a lot of fear around intimacy, and that's cropped up in my interpersonal relationships and my friendships, my family relationships, and I'm starting to recognize it the more I photograph myself, in the sense that as I'm photographing, there are still these push-pull between how much I show and what I don't show. I often don't show my face in my work, and I'm not quite sure why that is right now. And I haven't fully come to understand that. I've also noticed that, or actually another artist pointed out the fact that I'm using this mirror, and the way that I'm using the mirror and the gestures with the mirror often obscure parts of my body in a way that almost alludes to modesty, even though that's not my intention. And so there's a lot of ideas there that I think I'm still grappling with as I begin to explore this work.
Now, this is the second time you've mentioned the concept of hearing from another artist about your work or hearing about critique. How are you functioning in our arts community here as a member of it? How do you folks interrelate around your work and your art, particularly now, but also previously, before we were sort of had more forced separation? And forced isn't necessarily the word anymore, but separation.
Most recently, or at least up until the last couple months, I didn't really have a lot of opportunities for, or I hadn't created a lot of opportunities for my work to be seen by other people. I primarily got feedback through, I'm located in Fitch Studios, so during the open houses, I would get some feedback, but usually people are enjoying themselves and there's not that critical feedback that I was craving. And so shortly before COVID-19 really hit Iowa and hit the States, I was already acknowledging the fact that I needed that. And I actually reached out to artist and former guest for you all, Larassa Cable, and asked her if she would be my mentor. And so I've created that mentorship relationship with her, and I've been really gaining a lot from that. In addition to that relationship, I also weekly meet with a group of artists, and we do, using Zoom or Google Meets or whatever worked for us that week, we've been having virtual critiques. So we all bring something to talk about. Sometimes we're at very early stages in our work. Sometimes we're working on a grant and we have some questions about how we should work on the grant proposal and make it fit. But I've gained a lot from those virtual critiques together.
And this kind of happened through this social distancing time, these Zoom critiques? You hadn't really done that in person prior? That was more a result of now?
At least for me, I believe the group had already done them prior. I think they were meeting at a time that didn't work for my schedule. And it just so happened that during social distancing, everyone's schedules kind of freed up in a very interesting way. So yeah, it happened during social distancing. It's weird to say, but it happened during social distancing for me.
And you've also played a role in photographing and documenting the work of other artists. How does that play a part in building our arts community?
So I think artists have a lot of opportunities to apply for funding and to get their work out there. But in order to show your work, whether it's online or through publications or in the process of asking for funding to make more work, you have to have quality documentation of your work. And I feel like that's really difficult to get, especially depending on how much money you as an artist have to spend on that. And when I started looking at the Des Moines community, I noticed that there wasn't really anyone filling that role. I don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't really know of many photographers who are marketing themselves to artists for that documentation. And so I kind of saw this way that I could fit that role. Plus, I had that experience prior to moving to Des Moines. I photographed a couple shows up at the University of Northern Iowa and at Warburg College. And so I already had some of that experience to work with. But I feel like as a fellow artist, and not just as a photographer, someone with a camera, but as a fellow artist, I have a very unique perspective that I'm able to bring to documenting other artists' work. And I've also sat on grant panels, so I kind of know when the funding process is underway, what people are looking for and what kind of photographs the panelists really need in order to judge a work of art.
Yeah, it probably make you a pretty valuable member of that community. What has this work and your Zoom calls and these other things you've been involved with, Art Week, been telling you about the breadth and depth of our arts community, particularly in these times?
I feel like the Des Moines arts community has waxed and waned a lot over the years, but it's so resilient. And I'm very much amazed by the resiliency of our community and the amount that our community cares. Different individuals within the community, I feel like, genuinely care about one another in a way that I wasn't really expecting when I moved here as an artist.
And why weren't you expecting that?
I actually grew up in the Des Moines area initially, and living in the Des Moines area and growing up here is a very different thing than living here as an adult. So when I left and then came back, it took a while for me to figure out how to become part of that community or who to reach out to. And I feel like within the past several years, that's really started to happen. And I can credit Rachel Busey a lot for that. Pretty early on when I moved back, I reached out to Cat Rocketship. So there are certain artists that have made themselves available to help with those connections. And I think that is really significant.
And may I just add that they're all past guests on 900 Views. So folks, if you haven't listened to those, please go back to the 900 Views podcast, some earlier episodes, and you're in for some real treats. Larissa Cable, and then, of course, Rachel Busey and Cat Rocketship. Catch all of those. They're delightful folks. Brittany Brooke Crow, you are delightful. Thank you for joining me. I want to remind people that June 22nd at 6 p.m., Brittany Brooke Crow will be part of Performative Gestures, a conversation with Brittany Brooke and Michelle Marie. And June 24th at 6 p.m., this virtual life drawing presented by Arcadian Tattoo, where Brittany Brooke will be modeling. In closing, I wanted to mention one more Art Week event because I've had the good fortune to assist in its development. Mainframe Studios, Polk County Conservation, and the Great Outdoors Foundation are supporting Art Adventure, an arts treasure hunt through the parks of communities in and of Polk County. Some of those art treasures are permanently on display in our parks, and you will find postings between June 1 and June 19th at Art Adventures 2020, giving you clues to finding panels created by gifted Mainframe artist and recent 900 Views guest, Ryan Tepete. His works will be treasures available for finding and keeping. Check artweekdesmoines.com for details. Also, I'd remind you to go to Instagram to see the work of Brittany Brooke Crow at Brittany Brooke Crow. That's Brooke with an E, Crow without one. And I'd like to thank, as always, Mainframe founder Justin Mandelbaum, executive director Siobhan Spain, my collaborator, the talented Alex Cooney, and our guest today, Brittany Brooke Crow, a great photographer, a great artist, a great community builder. Let's make Art Week better than ever. I'm Pat Bodie. Thanks for listening to 900 Views.